Hello, everyone. I welcome you to The Butterfly Effect, a mental health podcast to help you navigate through adversity and begin your transformative journey to healing mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. From anxiety to domestic violence, this podcast will discuss a wide range of mental health topics, hearing real people discuss their raw experiences. Because this podcast touches on sensitive topics, listener discretion is advised, and the information that is provided is not meant to diagnose or treat any mental health condition or be a substitute for therapy. If you are experiencing any mental health symptoms while listening, I encourage you to contact somebody that you trust or a mental health provider in your community. So, without further ado, let's get started. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another Metamorphosis Monday of season two. How are you guys? Welcome. I am so happy to be back after a long, very long hiatus. It's good to be back and chatting with you guys and to start off season two with Metamorphosis Monday because I have truly went through a lot of changes in my life. And that's what this episode's going to be about. I'm going to kind of update you all on what's been happening in my life and share some words of wisdom and let you in on some things that I've learned along the way. But before that we get into this episode, I want to, you know, have a couple of announcements. Number one, thank you for being so patient with me while I took this long break. It was very much needed, and I have said many times that I will never come on this podcast and bullshit and pretend like everything is good in my life and sugarcoat things and come on here with bullshit. That's not something that I am about. I am someone that I try to live and speak from an authentic and real place. That is the point of the podcast, is to touch on real people expressing their raw experiences, including myself, which is what Metamorphosis Monday is all about. It's more personal. It's where I can come on here and chat with you about my life and the things that happen to me and how I can offer my words of wisdom from a personal place. So thank you all for sending so much love and support my way. All the beautiful messages you guys have been emailing me and messaging, DMing me on Instagram. Some of you also sent donations through my Cash App. It's amazing, and I really do feel the love, and I'm happy that so many of you have found that my podcast has helped you in a very dark time in your life and helped you navigate through those tough storms and helped you in ways that I never truly imagined my podcast doing, but it's nice to know that I am making a difference. And through my podcast, you're learning more about yourself and you're able to blossom, grow, bloom, and be the best versions of yourself. So thank you so much for the love and support. I also see that I have so many more listeners from all over the world, from countries I'd never even heard of. So wherever you are in the world, thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I hope you continue to enjoy my podcast and hopefully become a guest. You know, you guys can definitely email me if you want to share your experiences. I don't care what country you are from, what the time zone is, I will make time for you. I do have a busy life. You know, I have things that go on personally, but I will definitely try to, you know, squeezy in my schedule, of course. Two, I know many of you have found my personal Instagram, which I'm very flattered. If you want to follow me on my personal Instagram, I will start putting that in my description. Just send me a DM so I know that you are a fan of the podcast and I don't think that you're like a spam account, because there have been incidences where, because I sometimes don't check my podcast Instagram, I will just assume that someone's a spam and I'll block them. And I don't want to block any of you guys because I'd love for you guys to follow me on my personal Insta too. So just send me a message, be like, hey, I listen to your podcast, just want to follow you. And I won't block you because I would hate to do that. I think I've done that to like 3 people. And then I was like, oh my God, let me unblock them because they followed my, they followed the podcast. So, you know, having to like una reverse on that. But also going on to number 3, I want to say like a happy belated go through all the holidays because I've missed so much. So happy belated Thanksgiving. I mean, well, actually backtrack. Happy Halloween. Happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Valentine's Day. Your girl's birthday was March 3rd. So I did celebrate my birthday. So happy belated birthday to moi, your host. Happy St. Patrick's Day. If you guys had any holidays that you guys celebrate in your country, I hope you had a great time with your family and you didn't feel too much like holiday anxiety because it's definitely a thing. And also, if you guys had birthdays, happy belated birthday. You are very much loved and cared for, and I hope that you are doing well. I think that's all the announcements. So without further ado, let's get started. So I've been gone for a really, 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 really long time. Let's just kind of call out the elephant in the room. I have been gone for a while. And it was very unexpected. This is a decision that I made the same week that I came out with my last episode, mainly because that week was the worst week of my life. I was working at a company that was not very good for me. I felt like I was living in a cycle of stagnancy, but also I was working in a very toxic environment. My coworkers were amazing. I loved them very much, but I had a very terrible boss. And before I really go into depth about her behaviors and a little bit of things that I kind of had to deal with, I want to give a disclaimer that I don't want any of you guys to send hate or to try and find her or anything like that. It's not worth it. I have kind of closed that chapter of my life and I'm in a much better place now where I feel like that stuff that happened before taught me a lot more about myself, that I've reached a sense of closure and I'm fine with that. But because of the things I went through, that's how I was able to make the changes that I have made now. So my boss, she was 26 and I worked at a behavioral like clinic. I worked with kids that had autism and I was a clinic admissions associate. That was my job. I had that job because I was trying to figure out my footing with where I wanted to take my life as far as with psychology. And I wanted to be a counselor, but I was trying to navigate how to do that with licensing and navigating through that process. And that week was the worst week for me because I fell into a place where I felt like a lot of the things I was doing was not being recognized. I felt like my boss was constantly trying to belittle me and undermine my abilities and truly made me overthink if I was doing a good job, to the point where I felt like I was only going to work to try and appease somebody rather than try and grow in my career. And it's really hard to not fall into that stagnant cycle where, oh, a job is just a job and it's just making you money and you don't need to think about your mental health. But the thing is that when you do get to a certain age, you're going to start to realize that being on the cycle of stagnancy and just being complacent, you end up sacrificing a lot of your mental health to try and appease to a company that's not really giving back to you or giving back to what your true purpose is. Your true purpose gets lost in trying to work hard and gain the money that you're supposed to gain to get to where you want to go. And yes, you know, having an entry-level job or having just any job in general helps you move forward to what your goals are. But we live in a society, or at least I don't know how it is in other countries, but here in the US, we are almost bred to sacrifice so much in order to gain in the future. And we aren't just sacrificing our time, we're also sacrificing our mental health. So when you deal with things in the workplace, you're expected to just deal with them. And what I was dealing with in my workplace was my boss was, she would throw racial jabs at me. There was a moment where she would say like, oh yeah, you like watermelon, right? Because, you know, like you've had it a lot because you're black. Or she would just say like tiny microaggressions, and it would just always bother me. But being who I was, I very much brushed it off, and she really did walk around with a sense of entitlement. But it got to the point where I felt like every little thing I was doing, she was finding something wrong with it. And something I don't like about being in a workplace like that is you feel as though all this hard work that you're doing, all these long hours that you're putting forth aren't going anywhere because somebody's consistently nitpicking you. And after I had my last episode, we just had a very hard week. And I had made the decision to take some time and book a flight to visit my friends in Seattle because I needed time to create some space between the toxicity that I was in, and I knew that I was in it, and try to go on this eat, pray, love, like path of trying to figure out where I'm supposed to be and who I really am. Because I lost sight of my purpose. I lost sight of the vision that I had for myself, and I knew that I was losing so much of myself in the process for something that wasn't even getting me closer to my dreams. And I was still trying to figure out what that was. So I went to Seattle. It was my first real solo trip as an adult. You know, it's kind of different when you take trips with your parents, and then when you're an adult and you're able to kind of travel, it's an eye-opening experience. And when I went to Seattle, I fell in love with it. I fell in love with Washington, and I had a lot of friends there. And before I left, I had, you know, updated my resume because I was thinking of finding a new job in Dallas because I knew that my time was ticking with the job I was at. But when I got out to Seattle, every moment felt surreal. And I felt like the universe was really pushing me to step outside of my comfort zone even more and take a leap of faith on myself. And it was a very odd feeling. I'm a very spiritual person, and I believe in like signs and just little things that the like little messages that the universe would just show me or tell me through people. Like when I went to Seattle, I was meeting a lot of psychologists. I was meeting mental health counselors at a Starbucks, in a grocery store, just in random places. And they would say, oh, you should apply. You should apply. And I didn't think much of it until I got on the phone with my mom. And she was like, Queen, you already updated your resume. Why don't you apply for some jobs in Seattle? So I did. And I was in Seattle for a week. Came back to Dallas, and I kid you not, guys, when my plane landed, because my plane landed, I had to drive back home to get my car, get dressed, and I decided to drive to work. Because when you're in a very toxic work environment, I don't know if many of you guys can relate to this, but you feel like you have to be there, and you have to constantly appease your boss, and you have to constantly prove yourself. So I felt guilty for taking a break and taking a vacation, though she takes vacations all the time and every weekend. I felt bad, and she always made me feel bad for taking breaks in general. So me taking a vacation, I felt like I had to be at work. Like I had to come back to work and prove myself somehow. So I went home, got dressed, went to work, and literally as soon as I got off work, so Texas and Seattle is a time difference, but I got off work and I got a message from one of the places that I put in my application for, and they wanted to do an interview. And literally throughout that week, I had 3 interviews lined up. And that meant a lot to me because even now to this day, I kid you not, I still get rejection letters from places that I applied to in Texas that I applied to months ago or like years ago. It's insane. Like, it's hard to find a job in Texas. So it was very interesting that I was able to get such a quick response from jobs in Seattle. I applied and I did interviews and I landed each one, but I was looking for a specific pay, so I didn't really go through with some, but I did find one. Got hired as a mental health counselor, and she told me, you know, all you need to work on is your mental health counselor license. Get licensed in Washington and you'll be good. And that's what I was doing. I felt like there was a sliver of hope for me. Like, yes, like, I'm going to go to Washington. I'm going to live there. I am going to get this license and I'm going to be happy, because I was genuinely happy in Washington. I knew I was. And I tell my friends this a lot because they ask me, like, you know, Queen, what was the moment that made you decide to move? And if I can look back, I was walking in the UW district, the University of Washington district. It's like a strip of like all these restaurants and bars and like little shops. I was walking with my friend Tony. We were talking and something he said made me froze. And I could see like the version of myself that I wanted to be kind of show herself and appear. And everything in my mind just was swirling and it made sense. It's almost like, you really belong here. You really feel at home. You're going to make it. You're going to reach your goal. You're going to live here because you belong here. And I held on to that sense of hope. Of like, yes, like I got hired somewhere, the job ready to go. I just need to get my license. And just to give you some context about how to get licensed in Washington is you do need to have a master's, which I do have my master's in psychology, and you need to have done a practicum or like an internship. And because I graduated towards like literally within the pandemic, I was told that my program did have an internship, but because of the pandemic, I had to do a capstone instead. And my advisor told me that the capstone was like an internship. She said it was an internship, that is considered one, this, that, and the third. Well, the licensing board basically told me that it wasn't. And it was the most heartbreaking experience because I felt like my dream was in my hand and then quickly taken away, because I needed to be licensed in order to work for the job that I had accepted. And when this all happened, it was a month before my lease was up at my apartment. And when I got that news, I had just quit my job. I was talking on the phone with my mom, and she was having a lot of health issues, a lot of things going on, and that was stressing me out. Trying to get my license was stressing me out. And I told her, you know, she called me at like 4 a.m. I was in tears. I was like, Mom, I can't do this job anymore. Like, my boss is terrible. I do not feel happy. It got to the point where my boss was saying to my coworkers, like, oh, let's make Queen's day terrible. Like, she would vocalize these things. And I felt like I couldn't go up to the higher ups. I couldn't go up to her boss because she was buddy buddy with her boss, and her boss was buddy buddy with another boss. So she was that type of person where everyone loved her, but no one saw exactly how she was. I worked with her, like, I was like her right hand woman. So if I were to say something, no one would believe me or I felt that way. But I walked into work, I was very stressed out, and I was hearing news about my mom's health, and I quit that day. And I didn't look back. I think that was the best decision I'd ever made in my life. But the next day I heard about the licensing and how the lady for the licensing board said, you know, Queen, we cannot accept your capstone. You're going to have to go get an internship. You're going to have to do a practicum. And for many of you that don't know, an internship is usually done at the end of a degree program. So this lady was basically telling me that I either had to find a university that would give me an internship course, or I'd have to do a brand new master's degree, basically dedicate 2 or 3 more years to another master's. And I was already working on my doctorate, so I had to stop my doctorate and search for schools. I was calling schools every day. I think I called like at least 50 plus schools. And I was losing hope every single day. I didn't feel motivated to be talking on the podcast. I didn't feel as though I was in the right mind space to be motivating you guys and giving you these tidbits of wisdom when I felt like I was in a very dark place. And after I quit my job, and this is something that I don't know if many of you guys have felt before when you've been in a toxic environment, but there is a level of PTSD. Like, I would wake up sometimes because I could hear my boss's voice, or I could, like, I felt nervous being on my phone, or I felt nervous like waking up at certain times of the day, like the day, or I felt, it was very weird. I was trying to recover from that. But I genuinely fell into a very deep depression, and I felt as though everything in my life was falling apart. And on top of quitting my doctoral program and having to put that on pause, I also fell into something called imposter syndrome. And that basically is defined as like doubting your own abilities, and you're feeling like a fraud, meaning that all the things that you have done thus far is not because you had the abilities to do it, that it only happened because of fate or because everything aligned and it had nothing to do with the hard work that you put into something. And you do not feel deserving of the things that you have accomplished. And that added on to how I was feeling. I was extremely depressed. I was eating Wendy's 444s every day. I was looking for schools. I was applying to different jobs in Washington. I was doing so much. And I lost myself. I lost it emotionally, mentally, and physically. I had lost so much weight. And it was a week before I had to move out of my place. And I just reached a sense of defeat. But during that week, I did end up finding a school, North Central University. Shout out to them because they are the best school in the world. The lady told me, like, yeah, you know what? We've had students that needed a practicum course, and I think we can get you one. But let me chat with you about it sometime next week or the week after. Well, the next week was the week I was supposed to move out of my apartment. And that week was the week of Thanksgiving. And my mom and my grandma came all the way up to Dallas from Harlingen, Texas, which is where I am from. That's where I was born. And that's a 9-hour drive, guys. It's not like a cute little 30-minute drive. It's 9 hours. Texas is just that huge. And they had to help me pack my apartment down. And obviously my mom was very sick. And she was supposed to be due for surgery. There's a lot going on, and I wanted to come home to even like help her. But also I was in a waiting period. I was in a moment where everything had to stand still. And I was now at the mercy of hearing back from the school, because hearing back from the school was going to make or break like me in general, because I knew in my heart where I wanted to be. I knew Texas wasn't it for me anymore, but I didn't know how to get to my goal. Like my goal was just hovering in front of my face. And how can you grasp onto something and you feel like you can touch it, you can feel it, but you can't take it with you? And it was the most defeating decision. But we packed my stuff. I didn't even really get to say goodbye to my friends. And I went back to my hometown for Thanksgiving. And I was waiting for this school to let me know so I knew what I can do. And the week passed by and another week passed by. And then she finally reached out to me. And she told me, like, yes, we can give you a practicum. And the same day that I heard that, I had heard back from a job. It was as a mental health counselor for the YMCA. They wanted to interview me. And to make a long story short, I landed the interview. They said they're able to offer me like an internship, and everything was falling into place. And I ended up moving from Dallas, Texas to Washington, to Seattle. And if I can look back, now that I'm truly settled in my apartment and really reflecting, I can genuinely say that it really was the hardest time for me mentally. I mean, I lost weight, I lost hope and faith in myself. But out of that uncomfortability, there is a new chapter that started, and a new chapter that was being written that I didn't know was being written until now. When I moved to Washington, surprisingly enough, like I was unable to say goodbye to my friends. I thought that I had this vision about, yeah, I'm going to get the job and the licensing, and I'm going to have a goodbye party and get on the plane and say goodbye to my old life and say hello to a new one. And it didn't happen that way. And I must say that life is truly like that, that it will surprise you and it will create plot twists that you never imagined. But genuinely, I am happy that I got out of the state of stagnancy. That's the first thing I learned. Is I was able to approach and recognize when I was being stagnant and being in a cycle where I wasn't propelling to be the best version of myself. Because genuinely, you know, that happens as human beings, as people. We get really comfortable in our environment. And it just happens because we're going with the flow and surviving with every single day. All of you out there have your own lives, you have your own struggles, you have things that you deal with on a daily basis. And for me, you know, when you're reaching a state of like, well, what do I do? How do I get out of this? You just don't realize how to get out of it because you're so deep into it. And when you are feeling stagnant, how it feels like is it genuinely feels like there's just a lack of growth and development. It's like every day is the same day. You're doing the same thing. You're acting the same way. But also, I think one thing about stagnancy and being complacent is you realizing that every day, the more that you neglect your dream, the more that you neglect your growth and what growth means to you and how you develop as a human being, the more you start neglecting parts of you that's supposed to help cultivate your growth, how you create self-care, how you have good coping mechanisms, how you create a sense of peace, how you're consistently, you know, reinventing what happiness means to you and how you want to continue to nurture that. A lot of things get disrupted when you're in the cycle of stagnancy. And trying to break out of that can be very hard. For me, I knew that things needed to change, but I didn't know how. But the universe opened up doors, and I decided to walk through them, knowing that I was going to have to leave behind a lot of parts of me that I got really comfortable with. It's almost like if you have a prized possession, if you can think of one item that you really, really love, and you hold on to it and you carry it with you forever, and then someone takes it from you, you don't realize how much value you put on that item until it's taken. And sometimes we do put value on being comfortable somewhere, doing something every single day, where we feel like, oh my God, if I lose that, I will lose everything. And I will lose every part of who I am. And that's, you attach your whole identity to something that is potentially holding you back. And you don't realize it. But when I moved here, I realized how much I was carrying on my back. I realized how it was harming my personal relationships with people. I pushed a lot of people away. You know, when you go through depression, you push a lot of people away. You neglect cultivating and nurturing your friendships with people and the personal relationships you have with your family and with yourself. And you end up lashing out, or you end up projecting onto others, and you don't mean to. It's just that you feel so many different emotions and you don't know how to talk about it. And truthfully, you don't want to talk about it because you feel as though no one will really understand. Because no one can truly understand 100% of how you could feel about something, because we all process our emotions in our own unique way. But then we have to come back to center and realize, you know, maybe they could understand. They could offer me a sense of wisdom. But it takes a lot of patience with yourself and trying to reconnect with yourself in order to figure out, okay, I think I might be comfortable talking about this now. But when you're really sitting and sulking, it's hard to do that. So learning the feeling of stagnancy was one very important lesson that I learned. The second lesson I learned that I actually had to relearn was having hope. Like I mentioned multiple times, I lost hope in my life, in who I was as a person. I lost hope in my dreams. And I lost hope in what I could potentially do. I lost sight of who I was supposed to be and who I wanted to be. And I was reminded constantly about what hope is supposed to mean. And to me, if I can describe hope, it'd have to be through one of the Bible verses that I actually really loved. You know, I grew up, my mom was a pastor, you know, but I'm more of like a spiritualist or an ominist. I believe that all religions have some truth to it. But in the Bible, there is a verse. It's Hebrews 11:1. And the verse says, "Now faith, we understand the word and work of God, the faith of the ancients. By faith, men subdued kingdoms, wrought white righteousness, and worked miracles. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." And in other versions, it's like, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So essentially, our faith is an action-oriented thing. When we have faith in something, it's the confidence in knowing that what we hope for, what we want to achieve is more than enough to give us assurance for things that we might not realize are happening in the background. And our faith in ourselves can help us hope for all the blessings and all the opportunities that will come that we might not see in the moment, but we believe is coming. And every single day, I was tested with that. Every single day, I had to realize, wow, I'm making all of these moves. I am constantly trying to reinvent different ways of how I want to, you know, have a different perspective about my situation, because I wanted to not necessarily be in a positive mind space, but I really wanted to get to a place where I was coming out of the depression and just being neutral. You know, I feel like a lot of people, when you do end up in a depression, they try to push you to just be positive. You kind of can't like jump from being extremely negative or just being in a place where you feel like you are not at the optimal mental capacity to handle the stress, and then go to being extremely positive, like extremely like, wow, you know, like rainbows and butterflies and ponies and unicorns. Like, it's not like that. I feel like you need to come to a neutral space where you can kind of still sit with the energy, but invite new perspectives. And I had to have a little bit more faith in my abilities. Because of that imposter syndrome, because of the things that were happening, I had to sit back and wait and be patient and have faith in myself again. I had to reconnect with myself in that aspect. I had to say, Queen, this is a shitty situation. And I know you're uncomfortable. I know you're upset. I know you feel like a failure. And that's how I felt. I felt like a failure. I felt like I failed myself and I failed everybody else around me. And I failed my expectations and I let my dreams crumble in front of my face. But I had to say, you know what? You feel these things and that's okay. But you know you can do it. You might not feel like it now. You're not going to feel it tomorrow. But some moment is going to spark that faith. It's going to spark that sense of hope of realizing, yes, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. You're getting closer. You see it? It's right there. And that's what helped me to keep going. The third thing that I learned is that moving to Washington wasn't just for my career, but I really do feel like living here now shifted my perspective on what I truly wanted for myself. I think that the older that you get, the more that you really have to reevaluate yourself, but you have to figure out, you know, is this really where I really want to be? Is this everything I want to do? And you think about like your scenery, you think about the environment, your friends, your family, you think about you're constantly going to reinvent yourself. You're going to look at the foundation of who you are and your personality, and you're going to break it down all the time. And I was okay with that, but it was still a level of rediscovery. And moving here was the best decision I have ever made, though the journey was absolutely terrible. Terrible feeling. But I really learned a lot about myself. I learned about being a little bit more resilient, obviously having faith in myself, never putting myself in a place where I'm so stagnant that I neglect and let myself go mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. And just not falling in a place where I forget who I am because I'm too busy trying to be known and seek validation from people that I don't need to seek validation from. And I hope that my story, I hope you don't walk into your job and go to your boss and say, I quit, and does not have a plan. I mean, the universe works in funny ways, but from my story and where I am now, I guess your assignment for this week is I want you guys to think about maybe little places in your life where you feel like you're getting a little stagnant, where you feel like not necessarily lazy, but you feel like you're getting complacent, where you're falling into a cycle where every day, every moment is the same. And you could write about it, you can talk about it, you can paint it, you can express it in whatever way makes you feel comfortable. But for this week, I want you to think about it. I don't want you to tackle it or try to fix it. I just want you to identify it. See what moments need to be changed, potentially changed. And from there, I want you to ask yourself, what could be done better to help me approach this cycle of stagnancy to reach where I want to go? Because sometimes you might potentially get mixed up where, you know, I talk about us being on this path of life and how we could be walking through and we reach crossroads, we reach dead ends, we reach forks in the road, we reach all these different moments that make us come to a pause and reevaluate. And your cycle of stagnancy could actually be a waiting period, or it really could be a cycle of stagnancy. This week, I want you to identify if you are in a cycle of stagnancy. And then when you are ready and when you're comfortable, really try to break down that stagnancy. Do you feel stagnant in your relationships? Do you feel stagnant in your career? Maybe in your own personal development, in the friendships that you have, in the relationships you have with your family? Really try and see what area it's in and just identify it. Just identify it for this week. Just really reevaluate little parts of you, little parts in your life where you feel like you could be doing a little better or things need to be shaken up. Because stagnancy for me, if I was, you know, going on about the life path type of analogy, for me, stagnancy was like being at a dead end and staying there and being like, yeah, it's a dead end, but I can still go forward, even though it's literally a dead end. Like, no, yeah, I can still go forward. Like, you know, it's kind of nice here. Like, you know, there's trees, there's a lake, there's some bunnies. I think I'm fine here. That's how I felt like my stagnancy was. That's how I felt like it looked like and felt like. But that's how I identified it. So for you guys, I want you to identify it too. But aside from that, guys, I'm really enjoying myself in Seattle. A lot of new things have been happening here. I am now in a very loving and amazing relationship with someone very special. His name is Kelvin, and hopefully I can give you more updates about my love life and actually dive deep into relationships. I'm making new friends here. I'm trying so much food. If any of you guys are Seattleites, please send me recommendations of food places I would love to try. I am in the Kirkland area, so I do make my way to Bellevue and to Seattle. I have a very busy schedule, but nonetheless, I want to try everything. And it's nice to wake up and see the mountains at some point during the day, because half of the time it's gloomy and rainy. It's very different from Texas. And I'm glad, because I did not want to bring the energy of Texas to Seattle. I want to start this new chapter with a brand new book, brand new pen, brand new office to write my book and to write this new life chapter, and to approach the podcast differently and to come with you guys feeling very confident, very happy, and above all, just feeling peaceful. I can genuinely say that this chapter in my life is titled Peace, because that's how I feel right now. I feel very peaceful, and I hope that when you do identify stagnancy, that you can reach a place where you do find peace in your life. And there is a moment where you could potentially find peace in stagnancy. You can find a place where, yes, you can identify that you feel stagnant, but you are moving towards something else, and you are taking that stagnancy and molding it into something else, something positive. And above all else, guys, things are going to change. I talk about, it's called the butterfly effect. You might think you're in the cocoon stage, you're ready to just come out and be the most beautiful butterfly ever, and then you realize that you're still a caterpillar and you're still eating leaves. and there's storms and the wind has blown and your cocoon got messed up and you haven't even made the cocoon yet. There's a lot that goes on. Becoming a butterfly is uncomfortable, but very much worth it. And I hope that through my story and my life update has inspired you this Monday. Again, I hope you do not walk into your job or walk into your admissions office and be like, I quit school or I da da da. Really just think about everything that's happened in your life. And if you do need to make a change, it could be drastic for sure. And your family, your friends might not agree with you, but sometimes you have to figure out what could be best for me and consult the right people. Consult the right people that can help guide you in the right direction and tell you, yeah, you know, that does sound like a good idea because your personality is like this and I feel like you could be doing that. Really go to people that have your best interests at heart. Get the right advice from the right people before making a very big decision. And above all else, guys, I am super excited to share so much more with you. Now that I live in Seattle, you guys get to hear from my Seattle friends and their input on the magnificent things that they experience in their life and some things that are could help you guys and give you some words of wisdom. And I'm very happy to be back, guys. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. And I will see you guys in the next episode on Friday. Have a lovely Monday. Remember, you are absolutely amazing inside and out. And if you are in a place of stagnancy, just know that it's never forever. There's really a new chapter that's going to emerge. If you just have a little faith and a little bit of hope in yourself, you just might see that things are going to unfold in the most beautiful way and be worth it in the end. Hello, my beautiful butterflies. I hope that you enjoyed this week's Metamorphosis Monday, and it was amazing to be back. I know that it was quite a long episode for a Monday, but I had a lot to say. I've been gone for a while, and I wanted to update you guys on what's been going on and how I've been doing and feeling. And I think, you know, moving to a different state has just been very interesting. So I can't wait to share with you guys some brand new experiences that I've been having and just give you an inside scoop about what's been going on in the Pacific Northwest, specifically Seattle area. If you love and support my podcast and you enjoyed this week's episode, definitely give me a follow on my Instagram. It is the Butterfly Effect Podcast _. And share it with your friends, family, and loved ones. And if you really love my podcast and just want to give a little something to support future episodes, you can definitely send some le money on the Cash App, which is in the description box below. If you don't have Cash App but you would love to send me something, you can definitely send me a DM on Instagram. Also, guys, if you or someone that you know wants to be a guest and talk about their experiences, definitely shoot me an email. It's thebutterflyeffectpdct@gmail.com. I might be a little slow with answering emails, but just know I will definitely get to it. But I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Do not forget about the assignment. And just to give you a recap, the assignment was to identify any areas of your life where you feel stagnant, complacent, or you just feel like you're in a cycle where you feel like there is a lack of growth or development. And I love you guys very much, and I can't wait to see you on the next episode.